And that's it. Zechariah chapter 11. And again, thank you to the deaf people. God bless you. They say that deaf people give people their own sign, right? That's what they're known for. Brother Myers is right here because you have no hair, right? So I now know what my deaf sign is. Body. Zechariah chapter 11. We're going to get right into it. And I echo what Brother Johnson has said. Thank you, church, for all the wonderful, the hosting. And we have eaten well here. We have enjoyed ourselves. I got to go out with some of the teenagers today. And I really appreciate them putting the women at another table because I did not want to hear them eat. That was wrong right there. So Zechariah chapter 11, and I think I'm going to have to do some house cleaning here. My contact has been messing up, and it's somewhere. How many wear contacts? And it's somewhere up in my eye, and I'm going to get it. It's up there, and I'm going to work it down. I'm not winking at you guys. I'm just trying to work it down. So let's all stay in Zechariah chapter 11. And I'm not going to be as humorous at the very beginning, probably not even through the sermon. I'm just going to get into it, and I'm very anxious to preach. I needed that sermon right there, and I have been dealing with a couple of things in my world, and don't look at me that way. Everybody deals with things in their world, and when I woke up this morning, my prayer was, God, help me somewhere along today, and I needed that sermon. I wrote down one statement that he said really made the difference. I was sleeping through the rest of it, but that one statement really made the difference. I'm just kidding. Zechariah chapter 11 in verse number 1. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir trees, for the cedar is fallen. Because the mighty are spoiled, howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. I want to preach to you out of verse number 2, and it's simply this: howl, fir, and oak tree, the cedar is fallen. Howl, fir, and oak tree, the cedar is falling. Fallen. Do you know the testimony given by just a little bit ago? Jordan? George. And where are you at, George? Wave at me. The testimony given by George was the very first statement that Brother Esposito said to me when I was sitting next to him on the platform. When I walked up the very first time to preach here and inside this building, first time preaching in this building, he would sit right here. And I walked up and I stepped over to him and I said, Brother Esposito, thank you for letting me come. And he said, Brother Gray, can I just tell you what my heart is? My heart for these young people, and that was years ago, my heart for these young people is to have a multi-generational church. And I had never heard that before. And I said, Brother Esposito, what does that mean? Carry on the conversation right up here. And he said, this has got to continue. He said, long after you and I are done, this has got to continue. And if there is one thing that I heard him, just a passion, and we would talk about it often when just the short conversations we would have, I would always say, Brother Esposito, that really impacted me that night you would say that. Even his brother would say, yep, that's what we're all about. Let me tell you, this thing of serving the Lord Jesus Christ is much broader than just your time on this line. Amen. And if you don't broaden your focus, do you know the only reason that you see young men and young... I was watching y'all while those ladies were up here singing, and I could see across that auditorium right back over there, and there were young ladies on that side of the auditorium that were singing along with these young ladies as they were singing. Want to know why? Because in your heart, you want to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was watching some of you while Brother Johnson was preaching, and you're like, I just want to be that kind of Christian. Because there's something in us. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night teenager, if there wasn't something in you that said, I want to keep this thing going. So let's talk about it. Very unusual text if you're not used to reading that far into the Bible, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask for your blessing now upon this service. Lord, I truly am a blessed man right now. My heart is full. I feel like that I have reached inside the engine of my Christian life from the last sermon. I feel like that you've helped me, Lord, take and fine-tune my world. Lord, I ask you now to flow through the preaching of your world, of your word. Lord, we're just messengers. That's all we are. I thank you for the relationship with this dear church. I thank you for their love for each other, their love for you, and the love for the guest preachers who come through. Lord, I pray that you bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated. In verse number 2, you have 3 different kinds of trees in this forest. You have fir trees, you have cedar trees, and you have oak trees. In the forest, there is something, that there is the tree that is hailed as the mighty tree, and that is the cedar. Now, please pay attention, teenager. It would not be doing an injustice in these verses to refer to the cedar as the mighty cedar, or to refer to the cedar as the important tree in the forest. Not important because it was better, if you will. Important because the connotation in scriptures is this. It was an older tree. It had been the one that all the other trees had looked up to. So in this forest, you have the mighty cedar. Then you have the lowly fir and oak tree. But there's something wrong with the cedar tree when you look at this forest. The thing that's wrong with the cedar tree is the cedar tree has fallen. The problem with this is that there's no sadder sight than to see the older teenagers in the youth group not living for the Lord. Nothing sadder than seeing the older people of a church not living for the Lord. The writer, when he's looking at this forest, he sees the fir trees standing tall. He sees the oak trees standing tall, but he sees the mighty cedar has fallen, cast down, failed, has become knocked down, has been thrown down. Then the writer does something that is very natural in the response when you find that the cedar fails and falls. He then turns to the fir tree and he turns to the oak tree and he says this, because the cedars are not standing anymore, then you have to howl. You have to make noise. I love the attitude of the writer. He said, if the mighty cedars are down and out, then you fir trees step in and do the job that the mighty cedars should have been doing. How many times have we seen the same story when it comes to a ball team? The first string is not running the plays. The first string is not hustling. The first string is not in sync with each other. And no worse ball game to coach than when the starting five that know the plays and they have been with you since seventh grade are now in their junior and senior year and they just can't get it together. And how many times as a coach have I called timeout, yanked out the cedar trees and made them sit on the bench and put the hungry freshman and sophomore into the game that may not have known the plays like the older group, but they knew how to hustle and they knew how to get it done and they weren't scared to go after the ball. You see, if the cedars weren't going to hustle, then I'll put the fir trees in. If the cedars aren't going to give it their all, then I'll put the fir trees in. How many times have we seen this on a job situation? To where a hungry newbie on the job, the newcomer on the job, was busy scurrying to work and get it done. And then the old guy on the job, I'm sorry, I pointed at myself. The old guy on the job that they said, I don't have to work as hard. And how many times have we heard of someone with tenure losing their job because they weren't getting it done, and they took an inexperienced guy that had a lot of zeal and a lot of let's get it done, and they put them in. When you look at the verse 2, you find the cedar is fallen, the mighty are spoiled, and the vintage is come down. Now, please listen to me. It's sad to see people who are older people not living for the Lord when they've been in the church house for a long time. It is sad to see those who are supposed to be mature Christians, for those who have heard more sermons, for those who have heard more specials, for those who have sung in the choir, for those who have sung in the youth choir, for those who have grown up in church. It is sad to see them no longer standing and serving the Lord and no longer being part of the beauty of the forest, but being part of the destruction of the forest. Now, before you condemn the cedars who have fallen, please listen to me. We sometimes do not know why they are no longer standing. Maybe they got tired of the pressure. Maybe they got decayed from the inside out with bitterness, or like Brother Johnson said, unforgiveness from the inside out. And I'll stop here and just say this right now. I believe wholeheartedly in what he just said, because every day I've got to guard my heart to make sure I am a forgiving man. I'll tell you why. Because I, as a cedar, do not want to fall someday because I wasn't willing to forgive. Possibly they got tired of the responsibility. Possibly they maybe just didn't want the forest style anymore. Now, I don't know how many of us have cedars in our life that no longer are standing, but I can tell you this. It would almost be excusable to think, well, if they are not going to stand for the Lord, then why should I stand for the Lord? That is conventional thinking, but that's not supernatural thinking. That is how man thinks, but that's not how God thinks. You know how God thinks? God thinks this way. Okay, if the cedar is not going to run the buses, then you fir trees get out there and run the buses. If the cedars are not going to say amen, then you fir trees, you say amen. If the cedars aren't going to sing in the choir, then you fir trees get up there and sing in the choir. If the cedars are no longer going to play the piano, then you fir trees get up there and play the piano. You see, God's thinking is this. Cedars, if you ain't going to do the job anymore, then get out of the way, and you little bitty firs and you little bitty oaks, you get up there and do what the cedar should be doing. That's how you get a multi-generational church going, and that is how you get it going, is this. Don't wait on the cedars to do what the cedars are supposed to do. You just step up to the plate and do what trees always have done in God's forest, and that's praise him, and that's tell people about him, and that's make sure this world knows about Jesus Christ. If the cedars are not going to praise, then fir trees, you praise. If the seniors in high school are too cool to sing in the group, then you get up there and sing in the group. If the juniors in high school, if they are too busy to show up for soul winning, it's always amazing to me. Can I just pull over and say this? It's amazing, if we were going to Disney World, you wouldn't all of a sudden be too busy. First youth activity I held, 19 and a half years of age. 50 teenagers showed up. Like, man, this is incredible. First soul winning time, 20 showed up. It's like, what? Where's all those masses of teenagers? So you know what I did? I announced the biggest activity. I said, this is going to be the biggest activity. It is going to be free. We are going to have a great time. I promoted it as the biggest activity ever. Had 75 teenagers up, load them all on a stinking soul winning bus, and we went out and went soul winning for the entire time. They got on that bus and, man, I thought this was going to be an activity. I said, this is the activities from now on. But you listen to what I'm about to tell you. You hold in your hand the able to make or break your youth department and make and break your church. And listen to me very closely. If the cedars are not going to serve the Lord, don't wait on them. You start serving the Lord. I'll give you 3 points and I'm done. One, the cedars are needed in the forest. Can I have the tour group come up here? You guys, just come stand right over here if you don't mind. Just come on. There you go. Come on. Right? The college tour group, guys group. I'm sorry. The guys group. Stand right over there. The cedars are needed in the forest. Any seniors, guys, senior in high school? Senior in high school, guys? Senior, no senior guys in high school? Any junior guys? Senior guys, come on, come on. Come on, senior. Come on, juniors. Junior and senior guys. Give me about four of them. There you go. Come on, come on. There you go. Come on, come on. Upperclassmen guys. Kind of stand right here behind me. There you go. There you go. Perfect, perfect. Come on up here. Gather behind me. Move that stand. Stand between the spotlights because it's all about you right now. Just stand right up there. Can I tell you something? We need you cedars. The fir trees need you cedars. You give them confidence. You give them affirmation. And I'll tell you right now, every cedar sitting out here, you listen to me, we need you in the forest. Amen. But we don't need a you laying over for God. We need a you standing straight up for God. It seems like the older cedars are getting younger and younger and younger and younger because the cedars no longer want to be a part of this forest. And I'll tell you why. Because nobody's investing in the fir trees and nobody's investing in the little oaks because the cedars have their own agenda. Let me tell you something. The fir trees need Bob Gray. I understood a long time ago that my job is not to hang with people my age. I think Brother Myers is how old are you, 50? 52, I'm 47. How old are you? 38, 39. That are my peers. Can I tell you something? My job is not to hang out with my homeboys. That's not my job. You know what my job is? My job is to get out and understand I am a cedar. My job is to invest in the little fir trees. My job is not to hang with the people my age and my stature, if you will, if there ever is such a thing. My job is to get among the little fir trees and let them know I am for you. You can make it for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad you're here. That's a sharp tie. Man, I love them glasses. Hey, I love the sunburn. Hey, where's your pink jacket? You know why everybody loves Brother Johnson? Because he's more interested in the fir trees than he is the oaks, the cedars. Because we understand the cedars, this is not about me and this forest. It's about the fir trees coming up after me. And it's about everybody understanding you can be something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can make it for God. And I've got to understand the forest needs me. The forest needs a cedar that is all about the Holy One of Israel. Man, I'll tell you what, really, you don't understand how valuable you are to the forest. One word from you makes or breaks somebody's love for God. I was handed these notes, and I sat down and I read every note that's given to me. You know who gave me these notes? The fir trees. Do you have any idea how much time they took to write and to make that? Do you see that right there? A fir tree made that for me. And if I as a cedar go, yeah, whatever. I got a little fir trees all over the church where I pastor. Every note like that, I save and I have a file. I have been coming to Long Beach for 12 years, 11 years, 9 years. Every note that every little person has given me goes in a file that is marked Pacific Baptist Church. Amen. Every little drawing that every little kid at my church gives me, I mean God's church, not my church, God's church gives me, it goes in a file with their name. And one day when I marry them, they're going to get all those pictures back and all those little handwritings back. You want to know why? Because this forest has got to continue. And the only way it's going to continue is some cedar's got to step up and tell the fir trees, I'm for you. You are important. And everything you do is important to me. Last year, I got into a walking race down that hallway right there. One of the young ladies reminded me, thank you for racing with me down the hallway. You know that every fir tree needs a cedar to say, great job. It's one thing coming from me, but it's another thing when it's cedars among the fir tree. You see, I'm just an imported cedar. Brother Johnson, they imported these cedars. They bring us in on a truck and they drop us off. And man, let me tell you, when the cedar shakes your hand, And I don't understand it because I don't even like myself sometimes. And when I take selfies, I got to morph my chin into what it's not on a regular basis. Because I don't want proof that my chin really looks that way. Don't look at my chin. When I was just a fir tree, I was in ninth grade. I was sitting next to a senior girl. And we were listening to a preacher preach. And the senior girl looked at me and she said, the guy was getting with it and he was like going nuts. Well, as a freshman in high school, this is a senior now. I was sitting next to her because it was probably the only seat that I could manipulate. And so I'm sitting next to her and she goes, you know how I like my men? And I was like, how? I like my men to say amen. Really? Amen. That's how I like my men. Amen. She said, you know how I like my men? How? I like my men who take notes during preaching. Man, I got my pen out and I was like, I'm going to take notes. I'm afraid that we are sending the wrong message to the fir trees. I'm afraid the older upperclassmen are saying, if you want to be accepted in the forest, don't wear a tie to church. If you want to be accepted in the forest, then nobody says amen. If you want to be accepted in the forest, do you understand what a powerhouse you are? If you are a 10th, 11th, and 12th grader, if you are in college, do you guys have any idea it's more than just a matching tie and it's more than just getting up here and singing? It's more than that. It is absolutely your time and it's your to your advantage. Be cedars. Don't live and die to yourself. Be cedars. Get a 7th grader. Get him out of the locker you stuffed him into and love him. You girls that are juniors and seniors, stop prancing and find you a little fir tree and say, hey, why don't you come sit next to me? Find a little fir tree and say, hey, come on, you can come eat with us. Why is it all the little fir tree sitting here and all the little cedar sitting here? Because we just don't want them little ugly people around us. No, I'll tell you what's wrong. You're up to no good and you don't want a fir tree around you because they'll tell mama what you're doing. It literally should be in your world. You guys can have a seat. It literally should be in your world to where every time you come to church, you go find you a little 7th grader and a little 8th grader. What grade are you in? 7th grade. Man, come on, why don't you sit with me? Come on. Come on, bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. Man, make sure you bring your Bible. Come on, come on, come on. Get up here with me. There you go. Stand right there. You can help me out. Can I tell you something? Watch this. Do you know that he will buy this video for one reason? Years from now, he'll go, hey, Bob Gray put his arm around me and about choked me. But I am not with him. But when a senior and a junior walks up and a college kid walks up and says, looking sharp today. Give me knuckles on that one. There you go. There you go. You the man. Can I tell you? Either I tell him he's the man, or the world's going to tell him he's the man. And right now, the reason, why are all the fir trees the only ones that usually sit on the front row in church? And the seniors, they got to get to the back of the forest. Why don't you walk into church, and when a cedar says, hey, man, let's go hang out, you just say, nah, I'm looking for a fir tree. Always remember this. The fir trees are going to push your wheelchair one day. And if you don't treat them right, they'll push you into a ditch. You say, why are you always kind to these little people? Because they're going to have to pay for my Social Security one day. That's why. Those fir trees need Sunday. Father's Day was the 21st of June. Is that right? The end of May. During handshake, and I'll come down, and the kids will come up, and I'll shake their hands. I'll spend 10 minutes shaking their hands. I don't know who started it, but this kid was wearing a bow tie, and he walked up and said, hey, Pastor, what do you think? And I was like, man, that is sharp. Well, I heard one of them stinking punky cedars. I got some punky cedars I'll send already. Punky senior cedar. He was standing on the second row, and the kid came back, and I heard him say this. That's the dumbest looking tie I've ever seen in my life. Only weirdos wear bow ties. And I told him, you download the sermon because y'all going to put this online? Good. You're an idiot. Because let me tell you something. The kid's face went like this. The kid's like 8 years old. Went like this. And he took his little bitty jacket. It went like this. I was like, not in my forest, you're not. I went to the pulpit and I said, let me tell you something. Father's Day is National Bowtie Sunday here at the church. And if you are a real man, you will get a bow tie and you will wear a bow tie. Because I am wearing a bow tie. You go back and look at the Sunday morning service, June 20, on Father's Day, I have me a purple bow tie on, and I wore it the entire morning. Amen. You should have seen those little kids. Those little kids wore their bow ties, and they walked up, Pastor, look at my bow tie. I said, man, look at my bow tie. He said, we're cool, aren't we? I said, man, we're more than cool. We are swagging right now. The kid went back and said, Mama, I be swagging. She said, you ain't swagging in my house. Have a seat. Have a seat. Let me tell you something. We need you cedars. And it's about time you cedars stop thinking you're all that in a bag of chips. God lets you be here, not for you being here, but for you being here to turn around and take a fir tree and say, let me tell you how to get here and still love God. Let me help you with your Bible. Let me help you where to sit. Let me help you how to behave. Let me help you find the books instead of making fun of them. Let me help you how to sing. Let me help you go on a trip. Go to camp, take them with you. Go on an activity, take them with you. Become a cedar that invests in the fir trees. Because if you're not investing in a fir tree, then what are you doing? Do you have any idea? I was sitting next to my mama. I remember the first time I said amen next to my mama. Man, I was, you know, the senior got me going. I like my men. Say amen. I looked at that beautiful cedar with that flowing hair. Amen. I remember when I was sitting next to my mama one time, my dad was getting cranked up, and I was enjoying it. And I said, amen. My mother looked at me, looked back at my dad, reached down and patted me on the knee, and she said, just like your father would say, amen. Good. I remember the first time I said amen next to my dad. I was like 18, sitting next to my dad. We were on a trip. The guy before him was preaching. I liked what he said. And I said, amen. I mean, it came out a laugh, and I didn't mean for it to come out a laugh. Amen. And my dad nudged me, and he says, good job, son. When the cedars give you permission to say amen, I'm all in now. I could literally misbehave in church while I was an assistant pastor, and my father would never say anything. Literally. Because when I get into preaching, I love preaching. And sometimes I'll find myself on the edge of the feet, edge of the seat with my knees on my, I'm on the platform and I'm at the edge of my seat with my knees on, and I'm like, because I get so engrossed in preaching that sometimes I forget. And sometimes my dad will go, sit back. Yeah. He'd start preaching, walking, he'd go like that with his hand. And I'd be, oh yeah, I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't mean to get that. Let me tell you, where did I get that from? Because the cedars in my life growing up said it is acceptable for you to be spiritual, and it is acceptable for you to sing out loud. It is acceptable for you to have it front in church. It is acceptable for you to be something for God. It is acceptable. And I, as a cedar, am declaring, I like that kind of lifestyle. Man, I have fun in church. Want to know why? Because the cedars told me when I was young, it's okay to have fun in church. It's okay to whistle in church. Man, sometimes when I don't know the words, I start whistling. Now, that's a bad habit when you're pastor, because you really disrupt the people singing. Well, I like the tune. It's like, play that one again. I'll get up 100 times and say, man, I like being pastor. Back it up, sing it again. I'm driving my music coordinator crazy right now, because in college chapel, I call people up from the student body just to sing. We start singing. Hey, man, sing that verse. We got new song books, and in the last couple of weeks, I've been so excited about the song service that I'm pulling random people out of the crowd, and I'm saying, hey, come on, come here. I pulled a 17-year-old kid the other day. I said, hey, come here. He knew what I was after, and he came up. He said, Pastor, you're not going to have me sing in front of everybody that verse, are you? We're on the winning side. And I said, oh, yeah, come on. I know you can do it. Get up there. And he got up there, and he said, once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within. He got about five words into it, and the shoulders threw back. You would have thought he was a star. And I'm like, man, I put an egomaniac behind that pulpit. Do you know how you cedars are needed? But number two, listen to me, fir trees, don't wait on the cedars. Don't wait on the cedars. If you're in seventh grade and you're a guy, would you stand? Would you do that? If you're in seventh grade, and would you stand? Go ahead, stand up. You're in seventh grade. Are you ready? On the count of three, guys, I want you to say amen. Are you ready? You got it? Here we go. One, two, three. I love it. No, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Say, praise the Lord. One, two, three. I love it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Have a seat. Can I tell you something? Don't wait on the cool cedars. Say, amen. What is that all about? Don't wait. The cedars aren't going to rear back and sing. Rear back and sing. Don't wait on the cedars to get their act together. You fir tree, start it out, get it going, and keep it going, so when you become a cedar, you can help other people get it going. I'm talking to church members right now that you used to be a cedar who enjoyed life. It does my heart good to hear old men in the church service, amen. Excuse me, that's the women. And amen. Because there's something about cedars. There's something about the fir trees. You listen to me. There's something beautiful about a lady who gets into preaching. Amen. Yes, sir. And when they start grinning from ear to ear, you know you're doing something right. But not them women are like, man, let me tell you something. Don't fool with a woman like that. Leave her alone. Because she'll knock you out. Fir trees, listen to me. The admonition here was this. The cedars are fallen. Now you start to make some noise. When the fir trees are the only ones who are doing the work, listen to me, leaders, do not get discouraged. Because in 6 years, they'll be the cedars.
I cannot tell you how many times I've worked with teenagers in 22 years, and they run in seven-year cycles. And I'd work with the first group, and that I remember the first seven-year cycle. And the older guys, when I first went in, they were too cool to do anything. So honestly, I kind of went, fine, y'all be too cool for anything. And I went back down to the seventh, eighth, and ninth graders, and we had a time. I would take them soul winning. I would go to nursing homes with them, and it would get to the point to where I couldn't wait to go with these people, because whenever I was with these people, I got depressed. Hey, let's sing. I'm in, right out, right up, right down. In, right out, right down. Happy all the time. In, right out. Right up, right down. Right happy all the time. But you tell a 7th, 8th, and 9th grader, we're going to sing I'm In, Right Out, Right Up, Right Down. They're like, I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. They're crazy. And I just can't believe I danced on the platform. But I'm going to do the Johnson move. And Father, forgive me, for he has sinned. So let me tell you something. Fir trees, don't wait. Say amen. Don't wait. Show up to soul winning. Don't wait. I'll lead the singing. Don't wait. I'll get involved. And leave the cedars where they stand. But you know what a beautiful church is? It's when the upperclassmen are serving the Lord and the younger classmen are serving the Lord and the upperclassmen girls love the Lord and the younger classmen girls love the Lord and everybody's working together. It shouldn't be a clique of all the elite seniors and juniors that we are the class of. That's a bunch of junk, because in 40 years you won't even claim the year you were graduated, because you'll be embarrassed of how old you are. Let me tell you something. The reason that you have no fulfillment in life, Cedars, is because you have not a fir tree that says thank you. Thank you. And there's something about, and you're not supposed to worship man, and I don't like man worship, and I don't, but can I tell you something? There is something too. A Paul needed an Ananias. Paul needed someone when he was blind. Oh, you're the pastor. I can't. It's inner pastor. Ananias, Paul needed Ananias that when he was blind and he couldn't see, that said, let me take you by the hand and let me show you where you need to be. Can I think? Cedars, we need you. Fir trees, don't wait on them. Don't wait on them. Read your Bible. Don't wait on them. Say amen. Don't wait on them. Go to the youth pastor and say, hey, we want to start a seventh grade boys quartet. Amen. All of us will talk like this. Nobody's going to sing bass. Daddy sang bass. Mama sang tenor. You little girls, seventh and eighth grade girls, young ladies, don't wait on the older people. Go to and say, hey, what can we do around the church? We'll help around the church. We'll watch the fifth graders. You know, do something. That was funny. We'll do something around the church. Last thing I want to tell you is this. The forest will remain healthy if everybody does their role at their age. The forest remains healthy. I don't expect Cedars to act like seventh graders, but I do expect Cedars to lead the way and be mature. Amen. And say, seventh and eighth graders, here's how we do this. Because when a cedar looks down the row, and that's why you need to get somebody next to you. You need somebody. I, right now, am having a great time pastoring. I love pastoring. It is like a rush every single day I live. Amen. This past year, we had a young man graduate, and he really wasn't given a chance. And I got to be honest with you. He was made fun of. But him and I would spend time in the office. And he would say, Pastor, I know I'm not bright. And I know I'm not smart. And I know I have character issues. But I really want to serve the Lord. I really have a heart for people. And I said, what do you want to do? He said, this back in May, I want to become a bus captain.
when he became a bus captain, this is sad, his peers made fun of him. His peers said, right, like who's going to come to church with you? May, June, July. Are you ready? Kids going to camp. Our teenager going to camp. He comes up and he says, Pastor, I want to introduce you to two people. They're brothers. And they're ready to go to camp. May to the end of July, they're ready to go to camp. The other day, I looked up and they're at soul winning meeting on Saturday. Come on. Two public school teenagers. Amen. Soul winning on Saturday. And I'm like, David, where did they come from? He said, I went and picked them up. Good. And brought them. Amen. I was like, really? He goes, isn't that what you're supposed to do? I was like, yeah. He bought them Bibles. Listen to this. $120 a kid to go to camp. $240. Are you ready? He worked three jobs to earn the money within 30 days to get him to camp. He said, man, let me tell you something. He said, this is fun. Don't wait on anybody to get out there and serve the Lord. Amen. And you Cedars, you invest in these fir trees. I am a firm believer the reason we have thugs on the streets is because the Cedars laid over when they were in seventh grade. And I think the reason we have a 20, 21, 22 population right now is because they were left to themselves and they didn't know how to grow up and nobody was there to teach them. And that's why we have to have you. If you're a sophomore, junior, senior, or in college right now, would you stand? Sophomore, junior, senior, or in college, would you stand? Can I ask you a question? Who are you investing in right now? Who do you have in tow behind you? Now can I have all the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders come to the platform? 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. Get up here with me. Come on. 7th, 8th, 9th graders. Sophomores, you stand. Also, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, get up here. Get up here behind me. Come on down. You're the next contestant. Come on. There you go. Come on. Don't be shy. Get up into the choir loft. Let's fill this one massive choir. We will travel the world. Tour buses outside. Got it? I got you. Don't fall. Can I ask y'all something? If you would treat them nicer, they would like you. Because when you're gone, they are going to take your spot. And then the little kids coming up are going to take their spot. And I think what Pastor Esposito was trying to tell me that day on the platform was this. We have to keep this going. And everybody's got to get a vision. I want you to look at the young people behind me. They're fir trees. They are very fragile right now. They are struggling with self-esteem. Don't cry on me, people. They are struggling with self-esteem. They're struggling for an identity. And all it takes is a cedar to say, doing a good job. How old are you? Huh? Do you know what it would mean to a 14-year-old if a 17 and 18-year-old young lady said, come sit with me. Be my soul-winning partner. Hey, I'm going on this trip. Why don't you come with me? Oh, no, but we lock them away and we keep them out of our social world. That's not how this should be.
Amen.
Somebody has to help them become cedars. And you ask any youth speaker, we love seeing teenagers grow up, go to college, get married, have children, become productive. And I cannot tell you how vital you people are. Oh, you're so vital. would you help us make sure the fir trees are okay? Thank you. You may go sit down. You may be seated, and I'm done. Sometimes cedar trees, the upperclassmen, if you will, sometimes they're not sure what to do with fir trees. Are you ready? Let me tell you what to do. Love them. That's it. Just love them. Be okay with them. Let them hang out. They're not going to ruin your reputation. They're not going to make you look bad. If anything, you will have the time of your life. I'm getting ready to go preach camp up north a week. I'm going to spend a week with people. The last time I was up there, they had this old pump truck that they would spray stuff down. I went back, last time I was preaching there several years back, I talked a guy into starting up the pump truck, filling up the tank from a pond that was nasty. Then I got on top and I was spraying people on the ball field. You should have seen these people. When they figured out it was nasty water, oh, it was on after that. That's all there was to it. Just enjoy yourself. I'm not saying tear stuff up, and I'm not saying steal a truck. I am saying this. Enjoy yourself. But boy, if the cedars aren't going to preach, you get up and preach. If they're not going to sing, you get up and sing. Cedars, we need you. Fir trees, start living for the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed.